Welcome to the Figures and Flippy Shit podcast, where we are going to change it up a little bit. If you watched our, or listened to our podcast before, we kind of listed a weekly recap of WWE, AEW, and NXT, but this week we are going to change it up. We're going to list our top five, if we have five, moments of the week that we didn't really like, but then we're also going to list our top 10 moments of the week. Basically, this will work by, we'll start with our dislikes, we'll get the negative out of the way first, and then we will, whatever we do, the top 10, we'll start at 10, work our way down, and if one has already been discussed, we'll just kind of move on to the next top 10, because I'll list my top, and then you'll list yours, so they'll just kind of go back and forth.
Okay.
But, remind everybody, though, to like our stuff, follow, subscribe, whichever you're, however you're listening to it, whichever one that you do, and then leave a comment. Let us know what your top moments were, what you disliked, just so we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to go ahead and get started with our dislikes?
Yeah, let's start with those.
So I only had two. I know you had a top five.
I had a full five. So I will go ahead and, since you only have two, so we can't really do the back and forth, I'll go through my five, and then you can go through yours, unless yours apply to mine as well.
Yes.
Okay, so my number five dislike for the week, it's looking like AEW is going to go double pay-per-view with All In and All Out, and not even have a package deal for the two. Which I think is really going to kill All Out's numbers because, you know, times are tight for pretty much everybody right now. If you're not already rich, you're probably struggling. So I think it's very tone deaf of AEW to expect people to fork out $100 over a week for two pay-per-views.
I agree with that. But have they really said it was a pay-per-view?
They've given us nothing about All Out.
Yeah.
So I heard that people thought that All In might be like a TV special or something. Maybe that's what All Out will end up being, but I think AEW needs to give us some information about All Out to know, because, you know, like, we have Payback that weekend.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to be spending money there, so we're not going to be buying. I already told you, I don't want to buy All Out. I'm fine buying All In.
Yeah.
Because I think All In's going to kick ass. It's going to be a great crowd, and it definitely feels like they're building it to be, like, the big show.
Yeah.
So, the only match I know so far that's booked for All Out is Darby and Luchasaurus. So I don't know what else is going to happen with that, but I think it would be a mistake to have that be a pay-per-view on its own with its own standalone price. I think you might be able to convince people more if you did a double package, and instead of like one for $50, you did like two for $70 or two for $75.
Yeah.
I think you'd be more willing to get people that way. But there's just not enough money to go around for people to pay $50 twice in a week for wrestling pay-per-view.
Agreed, yeah.
Number four for me is the lack of time that AEW gives its women. So
this
week, Hikaru Shida...
Two.
Like this week, Hikaru Shida and Anna Jay main evented Dynamite again, which is good for them, but I don't even think we started their entrances to like 9:49, 9:48. Yeah, and I mean, was it a spectacular match? No, but a lot of it felt rushed, and I think if they would have had more than 10 minutes, I think that would have been fine.
And they kind of did that on Rampage also. They gave the women the main event spot with Saraya and Blue Sky.
Sky Blue.
Sky Blue.
Which actually ended up being a better match than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
But at this point, Outcast matches are becoming a lot like Roman matches, where it's just like, constant interference. The only time anybody got the upper hand on anybody was Willow in the Owen Hart tournament.
Yeah.
And I honestly, like, I think, like, they focus so much on the Outcast. I think that's part of what takes it away from the women. And I also, the Outcast story has kind of been a letdown.
They don't really have a story.
No,
it's just
like,
there and cause havoc.
Yeah, it's like,
there's no story.
Yeah, it's like Jamie Hayter got hurt and, like, the story stopped. And
yeah.
I understand you can do a hostile takeover story and have a story. The NWO did it before they ballooned up to be too big.
You could have used Jamie Hayter's injury to their benefit.
You could have given him heat for that.
Yes.
And I don't understand. I just don't think Tony Khan knows how to book women's wrestling, and that's a shame because they have a lot of talent over there, and they could be even better if they were given longer than 10 minutes a week.
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, I think you have enough women's roster that you don't need to just hold it to one women's match on Dynamite, one women's match on Rampage, one women's match on Collision. You could spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, there's sometimes, you know, it's nice if wrestlers go away for a little bit and come back and have a return. It makes it nice.
Yeah.
You know, they always say, what, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Yeah. Number three for me, I don't know why AJ Styles and Karrion Kross are still feuding.
That was my number one. Yes.
I don't understand why that feud's still going on. I think the way the match ended, maybe he's going to end the feud, or maybe Meechin and Scarlett are going to go off on their own. I don't know. But I just feel like this is a feud that's just kind of felt stale from day one.
Yeah.
And I like Karrion Kross's presentation. I like AJ Styles.
I know. Like, Karrion Kross, whenever he comes out, you just feel like he should be amazing. Like, yeah, this epic thing. And no offense to Karrion Kross, I don't know, just something about him is just boring to me. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Number two for me, is that it seems like from the segment on Raw, Cody's going to go back into a feud with the Judgment Day. And I feel like that's kind of a rehash for Cody, because he already feuded with Dom, beat him pretty decisively. I don't think there's any reason to go back to that well.
No.
That's my one issue, I think, with the Judgment Day, is whenever they feud with somebody, it goes on forever. Like, it goes on, they feud with Rollins for ever since Night of Champions.
It seems to be the same people, too, that they're just, like, feuding with.
Yeah, like I understand you want the Judgment Day to be big, like the Bloodline. You want them to be Raw's version of the Bloodline. But they're on TV every week, so there's no reason to not spice up their opponents a little bit.
Yeah. It's not like Roman, where he shows up, like, once every 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And speaking of Roman Reigns, the Bloodline landed on my number one. Dislikes, which is pretty crazy, but they're also in my top 10, so it'll be fine. But there's no opponent for Roman moving forward, and I hate that we seem to always have no challenger for Roman Reigns. He's the biggest champion in the company. He should have the biggest target on his back. His family is literally in flux and turmoil, and it makes no sense to me whatsoever that no one is capitalizing.
Is it because he's hurt, though, right now?
They always do this.
Oh, that's true.
They always do this.
That's true.
And he was out there taking bumps and throwing Superman punches, that's so true. I don't think he's that bad off. He took that super kick. So, yeah, I don't understand why Roman doesn't have a bigger target on his back, and they never explain it. I understand he's the most dominant champion, and they may see this as, you know, not fruitful to chase him. But with his family in flux, I don't understand why nobody's taking more shots. Like, I'm tired of Roman having one opponent at a time. I want a cluster of people to be hungry to go after Roman. Christ, SmackDown had, like, seven people in the World Heavyweight Raw exclusive title thing, but nothing for Roman. You just kind of have to stumble across Roman to feud with him. I mean, if you look at it, the last person that entered a feud with Roman Reigns in the last, I don't know, 9 months, was Cody Rhodes. Everybody else was in proximity. Sami Zayn was in proximity. Kevin Owens was in proximity because of Sami Zayn. Jey Uso was part of the Bloodline and turned on him, so he was already a part of that story. Yes. And it really bothers me that there's not more fresh challengers for Roman. However, I am hoping that Bobby Lashley takes a crack with the Street Profits.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a really fun feud. And I think we need to do something for Roman that's an outside force trying to get in again, like Cody.
Yeah.
So I don't like that we don't seem to have an opponent for Roman moving forward. Roman should always have somebody ready to step up and try to take that down.
Yeah.
Gunther's a long reigning champion that's dominant. No one's afraid to step to him.
True. Very
so
true.
I need more people to step up and get in Roman's face and challenge him for that title.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So that took care of my five dislikes this week. Those are the things that kind of irked me the most.
Yeah.
With yours.
I only had the two things.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of this is easy to turn around. You know, like I said, AEW, do a deal on your pay-per-views. Book the women for more time. AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, end the feud. Cody, give him someone else. Roman, give him someone. There you go. You can fix all those pretty easily. Yes. Yeah, I don't ask much.
No.
I don't ask for much at all.
Nope.
But I think it's time to get positive.
Yes.
It's time to move on to our... Yes, so let's move to our top 10.
All right.
Okay, so we'll start with your number 10 first.
All right, so my number 10 top moment of the week was whenever Shinsuke turned heel on Raw.
That's on my list as well.
I love the heel Shinsuke.
Yeah, and I love that he... There's a reason for it, because commentary yes. said he's been frustrated. He's
it's been like
irritated.
A build up to this. So yeah. I love whenever Shinsuke's heel.
Yeah.
I hope we get his music back the way it was before. How it was like, remember the last time he was heel, his music turned a little bit.
He had a rap in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they do that. I hope his entrance goes back to being more heel-like. I just love a heel Shinsuke.
Yeah, Shinsuke plays the devious little shit very well.
He does.
He does. He has, and I don't mean anything the way I say this, but he just has a very mischievous face. Like, his face, he always looks like he's up to something.
He has, like, a whole bunch of, he has very different, like, a lot of facial expressions.
Yeah, he's a very expressive man.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just has, like, a mischievous look about him.
And you can kind of tell that, like, he just looked like a little shit whenever he was turning. Because, like, at the end of the match, like, he didn't really celebrate, because he was in the match with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins.
Yeah, because Sami yes. Zayn got attacked by yes. J.D. McDonagh.
Yes, so they were facing off against Judgment Day, correct? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think we are pivoting into the J.D. McDonagh Judgment Day stuff, which
is
want.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes. But is there anything else that you want to talk about with Shinsuke turning heel? Because I just want to say that I love whenever he's heel.
I honestly, I'll spoil a little bit. This was number 3 on my list, not necessarily because of Nakamura's heel turn, but it means that Rollins is done with the Judgment Day. He can move on to someone else.
Yes, that'll be a good
and this is coming from somebody that loves the Judgment Day.
Yes.
But, I mean, I think, you know, SummerSlam to me is a pay-per-view that's, like WrestleMania, is a feud ender. We should be coming out with fresh stuff out of SummerSlam.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so that's on my list as well. So when we get there, we'll just hop right over
okay,
it.
Okay, well, what's your number 10?
My number 10 is that Austin Theory is no longer U.S. champ.
That's on my list as well.
Austin Theory was just, a lot of people have felt that Austin Theory's kind of landed flat. Like, the Cena win didn't really do anything for him it should have. I think had the match been better, I think that would be a different conversation. I think he could have been elevated from it.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like they kind of need to go back to the drawing board a little bit with Theory and give him some things that make him more interesting. Because he just kind of seems like a garden variety heel.
He does.
Like, there's nothing really about him that sticks out. And that's a shame, because in the ring, the dude's fantastic.
Right.
He ended up, actually the way the story played out, was he hurt Santos before their match.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kept hurting Santos.
Just kept attacking.
Yeah, so Adam Pearce let Rey Mysterio go in Santos's place, and Rey Mysterio beat him for the title. And that match between Theory and Mysterio was really good. Theory brought it.
Yeah.
I have no question that Austin Theory's excellent in the ring.
Yeah.
Plus, I think we're gonna kind of start teasing that maybe Santos is a little irritated that Rey won the title with his shot. So I wonder if Legado del Fantasma is going heel again.
But Santos was telling him, go get it for us. Go take that for us.
Yeah, but I think that's going to eat at him after a while.
Right, yeah.
Plus, Santos is a natural heel. So I think, I don't know. I just worry the LWO is not long for this world.
I love heels. So, I'm here for,
Yeah, but the main takeaway is Austin Theory is not champ anymore. We can go back to the drawing board with him. We could do some interesting things with him.
Yes.
I don't think we need to go as far as Noam Dar being essentially in a coma over the over the Heritage Cup. But this would be some good character building for Theory to, cope with that title being gone and how he's going to respond and what's he going to do. I think this is a good opportunity to build Theory a little bit more, kind of go back to the drawing board with some things.
Yes, I agree.
Yes. So, your number nine.
My number 9 was the New Day returns. Kofi Kingston's back. Was Xavier Woods hurt also?
No, I think he was just off TV because they didn't really have anything for him.
Well, Kofi and Xavier Woods are back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love their positivity.
I saw a report, I think last week, that said that Big E said that his doctor told him that he shouldn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I really hope that Big E sticks around as their manager. If if he's willing to do that.
Or even do the commentary if he wants to.
But at the same time, I could totally understand. Being there for him is painful because he can't participate.
Right. I would understand that as well. At least at first, I wouldn't be able to return.
Yeah, but so. I think Big E deserves another ovation in front of the fans and a proper retirement segment if he wants it.
Yeah.
I think he deserves that.
I agree with that.
And I think if that does end up happening, there won't be a dry eye in the house. Because Big E is one of the most loved dudes on the planet.
Whenever I think Big E, I always think of that, what was that show that the network had, WWE Network, where you would the ride-along?
Yeah.
Was it just ride-along?
Yeah, I think so.
I just remember the New Day episode where Big E was in the back, and then Kofi and Xavier on the front, and Big E did a split in the back seat, and he got stuck, so he rode the whole way to where they're going, just
in a split
the whole way.
That's funny.
Yes.
I think Big E, if he wants that moment, I think he deserves it. I think the crowd will, I don't think there'll be a dry eye in the house if he gets that segment.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Big E kind of move into a manager role for the New Day. But like I said, if he can't be around wrestling because it's too painful to not do it, totally understand that.
Yeah. Well, what's your number nine?
My number nine was the CM Punk Ricky Starks match from Collision.
I'm not going to lie, I completely forgot about CM Punk.
Yeah.
And that's not me being bitter. Mm-hmm. I know I'm usually bitter, but I just completely forgot about this match.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we also get to Collision like a week late when we actually cover it.
So, like, the Collision that you're talking about is the one from August 5th, just to let everybody know.
Yeah. And honestly, at first, I really wasn't into this because I thought it was a mistake to turn Ricky Starks heel rather than CM Punk. I think CM Punk would have come out the better heel there. But
Ricky Starks is playing a good heel.
Ricky Starks is a good heel.
Yeah.
I just think we could have had a little bit longer of a babyface run, and I felt like CM Punk turning heel made more sense with his reactions that he gets.
True.
However, Ricky Starks beat the bejesus out of Ricky Steamboat after the match.
He did.
And even in their graphic for this week, when they're like, we'll hear from Ricky Starks, he still has Steamboat's belt, like, in the graphic. So I'm not sure where we're going with Ricky Starks, but I trust Collision, the way that it's been booked.
Collision's been good so far.
Yeah, Collision has been really, really good. And we've said that for weeks now.
Yeah.
But the match itself, I thought the match itself was pretty good.
Said at one point that it looked like CM Punk didn't have, like, the issues with wrestling that he had before. Like, he seemed to, like, iron out all of those.
To me, in that match, and here recently, CM Punk has looked better in a ring than he has the entire time he's been in AEW. I think every week he's gotten even better, and he's moving quicker, and he's clicking better, and I think CM Punk might still have some high star matches in him. I wasn't sure when he came back, because I even told you, you know, he's going to come back, that injury's going to get to him, it's going to be a dumpster fire, and I was wrong. The dude stepped up, the dude's putting on great matches. I don't necessarily think he needs 30 minutes every week on Collision, but the matches that he's putting on are good, and he's looking good in them. But yeah, I just thought that match was really good. I'm a big fan of Ricky Starks. I want to see where he goes with this. I want to see what he does. I'm disappointed that he's heel now, but Ricky Starks is a prominent feature on Collision, and that's fine with me.
Yeah. Ready for my number eight?
Yes.
So my number eight top 10 moment was LA Knight versus The Miz, their promos that they had in the ring. Miz just has so much passion. He was just talking about all of his accomplishments over the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, LA Knight's always going to Knight.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just very good. Like, The Miz basically talked about how the LA Knight's just going to disappear. Like, he's nobody. Like, Miz has been around forever. He's the person that, like, Miz, I always forget how accomplished Miz is, because sometimes he's booked, like, the goofy wrestler.
Yeah.
But I forget that he is accomplished, I feel like that promo really helped Miz out to make us remember, hey, I've been here 20 years, and I've done a lot in my career.
Yeah.
And I think LA Knight did an excellent job, of course, standing up to the Mrs. Primo. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was really good.
I saw a lot of people online that felt that maybe Miz kind of outshined LA Knight a little bit.
I do feel like Miz's side was stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some every week, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this, but every week, LA Knight kind of like jumped, like messes up his words.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm not critiquing that, because I do this every time on the podcast. So I'm not critiquing that. Miz just has flowed smoother, like he just had a lot more passion behind it.
Miz is second to none in the passion department when he gets rolling.
Yes.
That dude.
It kind of reminded me of the passion he had whenever he was on, what was it, Talking Smack or something, and he was talking to
Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel Bryan in WWE, he was talking to him, and it kind of felt like that kind of passion. I just really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and if these two are going to feud moving forward, which they're on different shows, so we'll see. But it's kind of a fun idea that they might feud from afar.
Oh, yes, because LA Knight did show up on Raw for this to happen.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, it was a great segment. The Miz proved again why he's so good on the mic and he's so reliable. And yes. Like I'm in the same boat as you. I forget just how much he's done and how good his career has been.
Yes.
Yes. The dude, it's so funny. Nobody thought he'd make it because he came from reality TV. And he's got to be one of WWE's best heels.
Yes, and he has, like, that story from when he first started. Like, the wrestlers won't let him change in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally had to change, like, in the restrooms. And, like, yeah, so Miz has come a long way. And I'm very happy of, like, the respect that he has now backstage.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
from what I understand, you won't meet a nicer guy. From what I understand,
we kind of gathered that too. Just whenever we've never met Miz, but whenever we were in Pittsburgh, and we were kind of standing where the wrestlers like drive in, and Miz pulled up, and was a heel, but he kind of did like a thumbs up, thumbs down, like to that little kid, like he was interacting with the little kid. He did more than John Cena did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just wanted to point that out. So yes.
But yeah, I think that was a great segment for both guys. That was the chance to put LA Knight in there with a heavyweight on the mic to make sure he could hang. And it gave Miz a chance to do what Miz does best. And that's get fired up and feel like he's being wronged.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, that was a good segment.
Agreed.
All right, so my number eight, this will be a short one because we kind of talked about it already. My number eight was Roman eating shit again. So that's
on my list also.
Yeah, so when Jay and Jimmy were kind of having their back and forth on SmackDown, and Jimmy was like, you know, I didn't want you to turn into Roman, you know, I didn't, you know, I did this because I love you, you know, the whole brother thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come out that he was a little jealous, but we'll see. But Jimmy left the ring, and Jay's just standing there. And then Roman starts laughing, and whenever Roman laughs at the Usos, it's the most obnoxious, bullying laugh I've ever heard. And he just looks like somebody just gave him, I don't know, to steal something from Simon Miller. It looks like somebody told him he's getting ice cream every day for the rest of his life. And he's just laughing, having a good old time, and he's saying, there's never been a better time to tell you I told you so, and Jay just kicks him again.
Yes.
Like, I love in this whole thing with the Usos, like, whenever Roman just starts to get a little big, he just eats a super kick, and he sells it every time like he's been shot.
He does.
And it's hilarious.
He's so good at selling. I get annoyed because he doesn't do much anymore, and he's such a big deal that annoys me, but, he's so good at selling.
Yeah, when
he's so good at being the heel.
When Roman's in the ring, I remember why they strapped the rocket to the guy.
Yes, yes.
Because it's not very often he gets in the ring, but when he does, I would say 80% of the time he creates magic.
I agree.
And you know why he's their top guy, and his selling is phenomenal.
Yes,
when he wants to sell, his selling is phenomenal.
Yes.
Especially in the matches where it just feels like he might lose. Like the Cody match, the Drew McIntyre match in Wales last year, Clash at the Castle. Like, it seems like whenever the possibility is there that Roman's going to lose, his selling goes up.
It does.
Which I think adds to the heartbreak even more when he ends up winning again. So good on you, Roman. Fuck you, but good on you.
I love this one.
I was going to flip him off, and I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Read between the lines.
Yeah.
Read it and weep. Isn't that what the young bucks say?
Read it and effing weep.
Read it
yeah.
and effing weep.
Yeah. All right, so you're number seven.
So my number seven was from Collision on August 5th, and it was Chris Statlander versus Mercedes Martinez.
That was a good match.
It was such a good match. Collision, I feel like, does better booking the women than Dynamite.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Ring of Honor is supposed to be better booking women. So, like, why Tony Khan does well with half of his shows and not the other half with women, I don't know.
There's people that think that Dynamite has a lot of big personalities that demand a lot of TV time that might be downplaying the women. Because you have the Elite, the BCC, and Jericho, which are usually big chunks of the show. And
True.
MJF.
True.
So there's not a lot of room on Dynamite, and I get that, but you got to make room.
Well, this match though was so good.
I also think AEW needs to realize that not every single match needs to be a 20-minute classic.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can have matches that go a little quick, you know, to service a story. I mean, they do that sometimes, but not nearly as much as they probably should.
Yeah. I think AEW's focus sometimes is just trying to put on high quality matches and not really focusing on like the story or I don't know, they kind of focus more on like the quality of matches, not like the quality of like the stories, I feel
yeah. And I also saw an interview that JR did the other day where he said that he feels like the Collision locker room is more relaxed than the Collision backstage is more relaxed than Dynamite backstage. And it does seem like Collision's a little more pointed and Dynamite's a little more frenetic.
Yeah.
And so I do get that vibe.
Yeah.
But going back to what you were talking about with the match, because I kind of sent us on a tangent. You were just talking about how good it was.
I was just going to say that, I feel like you got me off my flow.
I didn't mean to.
But just Chris Statlander, I'm happy she's back because she was a woman that was good. She got more time than other women, I think, which is a good thing. I hope that she just gets the women's division back on track. He threw me whenever you got me off topic, so I don't remember.
That's my fault. But it was a good match. Definitely check it out. Yeah. Tag match this week on Collision Tonight, which is going to be Mercedes Martinez and Diamante against Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. I think that match will be good.
Yeah. What was your number seven?
My number seven was the Jericho Appreciation Society breakup segment. But in particular, they're not the biggest names that work with Jericho. But Daddy Magic and Cool Hand, I think, really shined in this segment with their promos that they cut.
Yes, and I'm not going to lie, I meant to add this to my top 10 and I did not. So that's going to be my little extra because I completely forgot to add that one.
Yeah. I just thought, like, Daddy Magic and Cool Hand, like, they've been goofy since pretty much day one. Like, Daddy Magic has the nipples hard, he has the funny voice, the entertainers. Cool Hand's got his combing and his good hair day. But these two really cut a pretty emotional promo from two characters
The best one, I think, was Daddy Magic.
Daddy Magic's was legit moving.
Yes.
Then it probably makes me sound like a big dork, but I don't care. That Daddy Magic segment where he cut that promo, I totally think now, based on that promo alone, I think 2.0 need to be a higher ranking tag team.
Yeah.
I think we need to do something with them. I think the crowd could end up getting behind them.
Yeah.
Daddy Magic already has a lot of fans, which we saw on the cruise. We've seen when we go to shows.
Yeah.
Daddy Magic's pretty over.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would be hard to get Cool Hand there with him either. I like the segment as a whole. I like that Jericho is doing something different than he's done in AEW. But I just really wanted to spotlight those two. I thought those two had the best promo out of everybody in the group.
Yeah.
So kudos to them. More Daddy Magic and Cool Hand promos, please.
Yes.
I'm fine with that.
Yes.
Okay.
So my number six. So mine was Noam Dar loses his fake heritage cup.
This would have been number 11 for me.
So basically Noam Dar, he lost his heritage cup.
It's been a little bit, yeah.
But then his, the Metaphor crew, they found him this new heritage cup. So then his thing was he never lost it because he had his friend go out or fight Nathan Frazier, so he technically never lost it. So mm-hmm. Tyler Bate heard him talking shit mm-hmm. about how he was the winner, so he came up and was like, I want to challenge you for it. And mm-hmm. Noam Dar loses.
Yeah, so he lost his fake cup.
Yes. So now Noam Dar lost the actual Heritage Cup, which then sent him into this like comatose state.
Mm-hmm.
So now he lost his fake Heritage. So his second Heritage Cup he's lost. So mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. I really wish that they go for a third Heritage Cup and he lose that also.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tyler Bate gave it back to him.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to fight Nathan Frazier to, like, combine it.
Yeah.
I just really want him to, like, lose it and get, like, another third one.
I like the story that I saw that somebody proposed on Reddit during the live feed. Is they said it'd be funny if Noam lost that one, and then Noam got a third one, lost it, or got a second one, and lost it, got a third one and lost yes. it. And then there's a match for all four of them. Noam Dar wins that match, and all four members of Metaphor have their own Heritage Cup.
That would be kind of funny, because they would be so annoying with those.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious.
It would. It would.
I.
This Metaphor group is, it's very stupid, but I enjoy it.
It's such a variety. Like, Noam Dar is, like, the nerd, I feel mm-hmm. like. But, like, they are just, I don't know, they work together somehow.
They do, and it's, like, four of the most random people. But they bless them, they make it work.
Yes.
And they entertain yes. the hell out of me.
Yes. Well, what was your number six?
My number six was the Adam Cole MJF stuff.
I'm going to tell you that was number one for my week. That was my number one.
Well, yours in particular was the trampoline park.
In particular, mm-hmm. mine, I'm just going to say it now, was when MJF throws balls at children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a very funny segment because he was just like, and they played it up so dramatically, like it would go in like slow-mo when he hit him.
The kids were all laying on the ground, they looked dead, like, mm-hmm. and then this one girl, like, oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
She like was like the sole survivor and flips off, because Adam Cole was trying to tell him, you can't do these things, Max.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little girl comes up and flips off.
Well, MJF also didn't even want to be there.
That's true.
At first.
That's true. He didn't want to be there. That's why he was hurting the children.
Yeah, he didn't want to be there. But I also, go ahead.
I was going to say, but Adam Cole tells him one more to get the little girl that called him a nerd and flipped him off.
Yeah, that was funny when the little girl flipped off Adam Cole.
Yes, yes.
I honestly thought they were going to threaten to hit her with a double clothesline.
Oh, God.
So when he told her to throw the ball at her, I was like, okay, that makes more sense than double clotheslining a child. That makes more sense.
But, oh, my God. Everything that Adam Cole and MJF, obviously, that's my number one, is just mm-hmm. gold to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am so sad when they break up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be so sad.
But I also like the in-ring stuff they did. So they called out Aussie Open for the Ring of Honor Tag Championship. So that's going to be on Zero Hour. And they're going to main event All In. So they're getting on the biggest wrestling show of all time twice. So I think we can tell who Tony Khan's favorite kids are. But Roddy Strong.
Oh, Roddy Strong, Strong.
Like, they're starting to do this. You just hear Roddy Strong. Adam! Adam! Like, it's like this in. Like this jilted lover. And he just comes out, and he's so angry. He's still got his neck brace on that Samoa Joe did. He's never even addressed that. But he just comes out, and he's just like I say, he's like a jilted lover. And MJF just runs him down, calls him bland, generic, creator wrestler, all that stuff. And Adam Cole is, and Roddy Strong, like, hugs the king. The kingdom comes up and hugs Roddy Strong and consoles him. And they leave. Because Roddy Strong was like, the king, they're exactly like the kingdom said you were. Like, it's real, like, jilted lover, like, melodramatic
and
shit.
I love it.
So he gets his hug and sulks away with the kingdom. So then Adam Cole gets pissed at MJF, and he's like, why would you do that? That's my friend, too. You're my friend, he's my friend. And it looks like MJF's going to blow up a little bit, and Adam Cole, like, kind of reins it back in, and he ends up apologizing, which kind of gives off an abusive friendship vibe.
I mean,
won't lie.
It's MJF. He threw
balls
at children.
Yeah, true. But MJF tells him, he's like, all right, fine, go check on your boy, it's cool. And then he motions to the crowd that it's cool.
So I have no idea what's going to happen in Wembley. I don't know if MJF's going to blow up. I don't know if Adam Cole's going to go off on MJF. I don't know if Roddy Strong's going to come out and proclaim his love for Adam Cole with roses. I don't know. But yeah, this whole segment just had there was a lot of pieces here.
It was a lot of moving parts. It was amazing.
It was amazing. And I'm interested to see what we do next week.
Yes. So,
and that's the main thing. I think of a segment has me invested in what's going on next week. It's done its job.
Yes.
In this case, this one did its job.
Yes. So, my number five is one we already talked about. It's Austin Theory losing his title and Ray winning. So, we don't have to go over that again. So, what was your number five?
Well, I want to go back and ask you.
Okay.
So, it's not just a skipped entry.
Okay.
What do you think is going to... See, I'm hoping this format, too, opens up more discussions. What do you think is going to happen with Santos and Rey? Do you think one of them's going to end up turning on the other? What do you think is going to happen? Or do you think it's going to be all sunshine and roses in the LWO?
I mean, I don't think it's going to be like that forever, but I think right now they're just going to celebrate.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of was expecting Santos to turn a little bit when it happened, but I'm kind of glad that we held off. Because I think the LWO still got some steam. They're pretty over. My only knock on the LWO, let's do more with Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they get lost. Yeah.
Because Zelina Vega has got to do big stuff. Santos has been in big spots. And Rey Mysterio is Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
They're kind of like, honestly, they've kind of become like the Menard and Parker for the Daddy Magic and Cool Hand for the LWO. Because they don't, well, I was doing that more for AJ. Because we never call them Menard and Parker. But yeah, I feel like they're going to get lost, and they shouldn't. They're a great tag team.
Yeah.
They should be in the conversation. I think that's another thing we need to do, is I think we need to get those tag titles split. Because there's a lot of good babyface tag teams that should be chasing gold that aren't going to chase it against a babyface Owens and Zayn.
Yeah.
Like Cruz and Del Toro. I think that match would slap. But I think one of them has to be heel, and I don't think it's going to be Owens and Zayn for a while.
Yeah.
The only thing I see coming out of there is eventually Owens will turn on Zayn again.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see. Yes. But yeah, I want them to do more with Wilde and Del Toro for sure.
Yeah.
My number five involves a stable again. I really like that we're going to build something with Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Yeah. I think that's a group that goes together well. And you and I talked about it, I think, last week. You know, the Street Profits are going to add personality for Lashley, and Lashley's going to add a threat factor for the Street Profits.
Yeah.
So I really like this stable, and maybe my number one point might be defeated here, because they did mention in their little segment that it's time for some new blood on SmackDown. So maybe Bobby Lashley will chase Roman. I think at this point, Roman is so vulnerable, it'd be stupid for Bobby Lashley to not at least try.
Yeah.
Plus, Bobby Lashley has the numbers now, because Roman only has Solo. So what we've established in that segment with the Bloodline is Jimmy and Jay are going off and doing their own thing. It's just Roman and Solo now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bobby Lashley has the numbers, because he has two Street Profits.
Yeah.
And Heyman's not going to do shit.
No.
Heyman's just going to stand there and cry when Roman gets hurt and worship the ground that Roman's on and occasionally drop down and suck his dick. I mean, that's what Heyman's going to do.
Oh, my.
Did I go too far?
Yeah.
My bad. Ooh. My bad. Well, anyway. So, yeah, I think anybody that's got more than one friend would be dumb not to chase Roman. I hope Bobby and the Street Profits do. I don't think Bobby should dethrone Roman. I don't know how we would get around not having the numbers advantage unless you had Solo overpower both Street Profits. That kind of nerfs the Street Profits a little bit.
Yeah.
But I like this team. I want to see where this team goes, and I want this team to do meaningful things. I don't want this to end up being Bobby Lashley chases Rey Mysterio for the U.S. title. I want Bobby Lashley to go after the big fish, because Bobby Lashley himself is a big fish.
Yeah, see, I didn't include him because I think Bobby Lashley's a snooze fest.
Well, hopefully the Street Profits, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully the Street Profits will help with that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's over. Like, whenever he came out last week and Street Profits attacked everybody, like, everybody was so happy to see Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
So he's super over. It's kind of crazy that he's been kind of bland, but still gotten himself over. It's kind of an interesting dynamic.
It is.
Because normally somebody like Bobby Lashley would be.
But he's been gone for a long time.
He was, and that's what I was talking about before with AEWs. Take some of your people off TV for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I have been a fan of Chris Jericho for 20 years. I don't need Jericho every week.
Yes.
So
my number four was just the Bloodline stuff again. Mm-hmm. Roman showed up to work and all that went down. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that was my number four.
But the question is with everything the way it played down, when are we going to see Roman again?
I know, and that's my, I kind of debated putting that so high on my list because I get so annoyed because Roman just disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And it annoys me that he's such a big champion, but he's never around. So I really debated putting this so high up on my list because I get annoyed by that.
And see, here's the thing. This would have been really easy to do. Jay and Jimmy both walked away. And while Roman's standing in the ring, just have Bobby Lashley slide in the ring, hit him with the forearm in the back of the neck, and boom, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. And then we could tell the story of Roman doesn't have all the backup he used to. Look how vulnerable he was.
Yes.
You could tell a good story with that.
You could, yes.
I understand that Roman wants to do part-time, but you've got to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you have Bobby Lashley do that, and then Roman just... You could even say that Bobby Lashley's attack hurt Roman, and that would explain him being off for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you could do this so easily.
Yeah.
So easily.
Well, what was your number four?
My number four, we kind of already talked about a little bit, and it was the fact that I got a double helping of LA Knight this week. I got LA Knight on Raw, and then on SmackDown, he fought Top Dollar, which one of the things that was funny was when they announced the match is coming up next. Kevin Patrick showed personality, and he was like, Michael Cole's BFF, Top Dollar. And I just want to say, I don't know if it was Cole sitting beside him or what last night, but Kevin Patrick last night seemed miles better than he was on Raw.
He didn't have those, like, breaks that he would have.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't, like, dead pauses. So Kevin Patrick has already shown improvement to me with Michael Cole sitting right there.
Yeah.
And it leads me to believe that maybe Kevin Patrick will be fine. He just needed some coaching.
Yeah.
And nobody better to coach him than Michael Cole.
Nothing wrong with getting some extra training for a job.
No, especially from Michael freaking Cole.
Yes, yes.
Now that Vince is out of Michael Cole's ear, Michael Cole's fantastic.
Yes.
I love when Michael Cole gets outraged. Like when he gets to show personality and show, you know, some passion for the product. I think it works for him.
Yeah.
Like in the Cody Brock match when he was like, damn it, Cody, stay down. And last night he was so, I can't remember what happened, but he was so outraged at something, but I don't remember what it was. It was Austin Theory. He was so mad at Austin Theory for attacking Santos.
Yeah.
I think that's going to help Kevin Patrick. But that took me completely off my point of the double helping of LA Knight. It does. It does. It does. But it's so easy to go down other paths with wrestling. There's so much going on. There's so much of it.
I do feel like I do a pretty good job for the most part staying on topic.
Yeah, but I feel like you have to make an active effort to do it. But yeah, double helping of LA Knight. I know a lot of people are like, the brand split means nothing. If I get LA Knight twice in a week, shut up. I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Okay, so what's your number three?
My number three is Christian and his child. Christian had this was on Collision.
This was on August 5th Collision, yeah.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure it was his actual, it was his kid, right?
Yeah, and he was just so, like, formal about it, like, this is my child. Like,
yes, he literally, like, was holding on to her, like, the girl at one point, so he still has his belt on his shoulder, and the girl at one point asks, can I have your belt? And he was like, no, because she didn't win it.
Yeah,
he
was just like, did you win this belt?
Right, and then he told security to escort his child out of the building. To get her out of there.
And we're not doing it justice.
No.
You have to see Christian do this with the disgust on his face for his own child.
Standing behind him.
Yeah.
While Christian's talking about that being his belt.
And how Luchasaurus doesn't bust out laughing is beyond me.
Right? And it's just so funny because he told his... And neither did he.
Yeah.
And so, like, Luchasaurus won this, but Christian... I've never seen Luchasaurus carry that belt.
No.
And he always tells other people how delusional they are. So
yeah.
I just love Christian.
And I love that before he was doing, like, the I mean we. He's dropped the I mean we altogether.
Oh, yes.
It's all about him now.
Yes. And I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, you have to go watch that segment because just the look of disgust on Christian's face dealing with his own child is yes. just, it's something else. Especially, yes. Did you win this belt? Like,
yes. And the little girl the whole time just looks like she doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. It's heel Christian's a freaking treat.
Yes.
He is a treat. He's the gift that keeps on giving every yes. single day.
Yes.
And I really hate that I only see him on Collision. Christian is somebody that I would love to see twice a week, too.
Yes.
But I get it. He's an older guy. He probably doesn't want to travel two places in a week. But, yeah, heel Christian just is...
It's awesome.
He's the best heel AEW has at this moment. Because MJF is off doing his Adam Cole stuff.
That's true.
But even then, you know, MJF sometimes kind of runs back the same beats. And with his heelness, Christian always finds a new low. Like, he always finds something to do that makes him a bigger piece of shit than he was the week before.
Yes.
I don't know how he's going to top calling security on his own daughter, but I know he will, and I can't wait.
I mean, we also thought that whenever he literally looked at Jungle Boy and was, like, talking about his dad, and he was like, oh, wait, your dad is dead.
Yeah, so, and then that evolved into, I wish your whole family was dead.
Yes,
and
just, so... Christian.
And it's so funny. I saw a comment the other day, and I 100% agree. I remember when Tony Khan announced that he had signed Christian, and people felt so let down.
Right.
Oh, I think everybody's eating crow now that said yes. that, because I never see... Like, I see a lot of people dump on a lot of segments through the threads that I'm on. No one ever dumps on Christian. Everybody loves what Christian's doing all the time.
Yes, it's great.
He does. And I just love that he finds new ways to invent, or he finds new ways to become the biggest asshole in the world.
Yes.
And he's so good at it, too. Yes, he comes off as just so smug and smarmy. Like, he did an interview where they asked him why he wrestles in a turtleneck, and he said, I wrestle in a turtleneck because I'm better than everybody here. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, yeah, Christian's excellent stuff. That's on my list, too.
Yes.
My number three, we already kind of talked about, was the Nakamura heel turn. And like you said, I love how you could kind of see it coming because, like, Cody and Rollins and Zayn, because Zayn had come out to help.
Yeah.
And
I don't, they had that weird elbow.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell was going on with Sami Zayn's elbow, but it freaked me out. But anyway, they're up there celebrating on the turnbuckles because Sami Zayn helped him win. And Nakamura's in the fourth one, but he's not on it. He's just standing there watching the other guys yes. with this grin on his face.
I mean, and at the same time, it's Shinsuke. He does weird things. So, yeah. Like, you probably didn't think much of it. I don't know.
Yeah, you just probably thought, like, oh, Shin doesn't really get up on the...
Shinsuke's just being Shinsuke.
Yeah, he doesn't really get up on the turnbuckles and do things.
But we should have known because he had his back to the crowd. But, mm-hmm. like, he wasn't really engaging with the crowd. Yeah.
And he didn't really stick around for a beatdown or anything. He just Kinshasa'd Rollins, and then out he went.
Yeah.
And Cody's just like, what are you doing? So, I'll be interested to see. I'm interested for the Rollins and Nakamura feud, because they fought a few years ago at Survivor Series, and it was really good.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Nakamura to do something. I'm excited that Nakamura's on TV, because yes. he's still really good.
Yeah.
All right. What's your number two?
My number two is Ciampa. This match with Ciampa versus Gable versus Riddle versus Ricochet. It was really good, and Gable won.
Was a good match.
Yes. So this match was really good. It had what I loved in it. It had mm-hmm. flippy stuff, but it also had some, like, hard-hitting stuff. You got to see Ciampa, like, black and gold NXT, like, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And just, at one point in time, Ricochet, like, flipped over guys, like, over the ring, or over the ropes, and mm-hmm. it was just Ricochet being Ricochet, but he always impresses me.
Yeah.
And Gable wins, which was a big thing for me, because Gable never wins.
Yeah.
So that was, like, that was my number two, though, because it was just so good, and Gable got the win,
and I'm not surprised how good it was. I mean, with the talent involved, I mean, that's a great four dudes
yeah. Ciampa, to be in a match Gable, like that. Ciampa, Gable, Riddle, and Ricochet they are together.
They are. They all work together really, really well.
Yes.
But yeah, and good for Gable. Good for Gable. But we'll talk about Gable a little more in a minute.
Okay.
But my number two for the week was the Christian promo. And I don't think there's really anything that I can add that wasn't already said.
We were so close to how much we liked that.
Yeah, that Christian promo. And that tells you something. That happened a week ago today.
Yes.
And it still landed near the top.
I still remember so much of it. And I forget everything. So the fact that that stuck in my head so much.
Yeah.
And it would have been number one if MJF hadn't thrown balls at children.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes.
But yeah, that was my number two. Before we get to our number one, just a couple other things that didn't make the list that were still pretty good. The Blackpool Combat Club and Lucha Brothers had a match this week.
That was on my potential list, yes.
Yeah. But the Blackpool Combat Club, the only reason it didn't make my list is I'm not quite sure who they're feuding with. Are they feuding with the Death Triangle without Pac? Are they going to feud with somebody else? I mean, they're definitely done with the Elite, which is good. Because I think that story ran its course.
Yeah.
Are they kind of biding their time to Eddie Kingston gets back from Japan? Are they going to do something with Eddie Kingston? Because I think there's still more meat on those bones with Moxley and Kingston.
Yes.
Especially if Bryan Danielson's coming back next month, like AEW shooting for, or early October. So that was some good stuff that happened there as well. So I always like the Blackpool Combat Club. I like everybody in that group. I think everybody fills their role well.
Yes.
I'm interested to see where we go from here. So that was something that happened this week that we didn't necessarily mention, but was still pretty good. Also, next week, we're going to get the conclusion to Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. Should have happened at SummerSlam, but that's just beating a dead horse. I'm interested to see where Becky goes from there. They kind of teased a feud with Shayna Baszler, which I think would be really good for Shayna coming out of that match with Ronda, or we'll call it a match. I don't really know what it was. At SummerSlam, I just know it was it. It took me a minute to get back in the show after that match. What were your thoughts on SummerSlam itself? Because we didn't really discuss it.
I think it was okay.
Yeah, I think Logan Paul and Ricochet was really good, and then I think the rest of the show just kind of treaded water a little bit until Cody Brock. I thought Cody Brock was great. That moment with Brock and Cody at the end. That's ace stuff, and good on Brock Lesnar, because we found out that actually wasn't part of the plan, and Brock did that on his own. So I think it's safe to conclude that Brock Lesnar really likes Cody Rhodes. And then the EO cash-in was great. The match leading up to it was all right, but the cash-in was great. So we're still teasing some stuff with EO. I think we're going to get an EO-Asuka feud based on what we saw on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So that's good. I don't know why Shotzi didn't show up when Bayley was there. I thought that there was a little bit of disconnect there because I thought Shotzi was more part of that story. But I don't know if Bayley's kind of pivoting to Charlotte now. I don't know. So there was a lot of other good stuff that happened this week. It just didn't stick out as much as everything else did for us.
Yeah. Well,
we're
gonna do our number one now.
Yes, let's do the number one.
Stay on topic.
Well, we're a little early anyway compared to most weeks, so. But anyway, your number one
was the MJF throwing the balls at children, which we already talked about in detail. So there's nothing else to add with that one, but it was just good.
Yeah. My number one for the week had to do with the four-way that you had, which the match itself was great. But my number one moment specifically was that Gable got his moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a fan of Chad Gable for a few years now. Like, even when he was with Shelton Benjamin doing the shoe stuff, I was a big Chad Gable fan. I thought American Alpha was really cool. I liked them. So to see Gable get that moment where he got to celebrate, he got to carry his kid around the ring and celebrate with him. It was in his town. I thought that was really great that Gable got that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that him and Gunther are going to put on a classic, and I hope they do it in front of us at Payback.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was a really nice thing to happen to somebody that's been in that company for a long time and hasn't necessarily seen the best things come his way while he's been there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was really great. That really warmed my heart as a Chad Gable fan, because that dude, I think he's one of the most underappreciated people on their roster. He's so good. He's a great character. He's a great wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to get that moment and to get to celebrate with his kid in his hometown, I think that's a moment Gable will remember forever.
For sure. Yes.
And he deserves it. Absolutely
Agreed.
Deserves it.
Agreed.
So that takes care of our top 10 of the week for wrestling and the things that we would like to kind of see change, our dislikes. So, you know, let us know what you thought in the comments about the new format. If there's anything that you thought that was unjustly left on the off the list, let us know. You know, give us your thoughts and opinions. Follow us on all the socials. You want to tell them the socials?
Yeah, on Instagram and Facebook, it's just Figures and Flippy Ass.
Okay, nice and easy.
On Instagram and Facebook,
yes. Nice and easy. And don't forget, Spotify has the Saturday audio versions of our show, which usually goes up sometime in the early afternoon. And then if you're more of a visual person, you'll have the visual version on Sunday. Usually what, in the morning? Usually when you get it posted? I'm usually asleep by the time you posted it.
It just depends.
Okay.
So at some point on Sunday, you get it. It just depends what's going on.
Yes. And we're hoping with this new format, with the time opening, we're hoping to maybe dedicate more time to the figures part of Figures and Flippy Yes. Or Figures and Flippy Shit. I was doing the social handle. So we're going to try to see how what we could do about that. Like I said, leave your comments. Let us know what you think of the new format.
Yes.
Otherwise, like I tell you every week, there's a lot of good wrestling out there. Go out and find it. Find what works for you. Wrestling is one of the best forms of entertainment out there. Plus, it's one of the only ones right now not affected by a writer's strike. So
yes.
It has that going for it. But until next week, we will see you then.